Balthazar Gracian said, "A wise man gets more use from his enemies than a fool from his friends." I was reading an article entitled, "Radical Gender Ideology Invades Small Town Schools." In it, we read, "When the school called his 14-year-old son to the principal's office for refusing to say a female student was a boy, Matthew Duncan decided he had had enough." It goes on to say, "Grants Pass is a small conservative town, but locals have found that they can't control what their children get taught in public school. Families have found directives from Oregon's governor trample their own beliefs. Teachers who want a politically neutral curriculum say that local schools have actively promoted LGBT ideology. Even in my own town, I got a text from a friend who was voting at a polling station that was held on the premises of an elementary school. He's a doctor who, unsettled, sent me a picture asking, 'Do these symbols mean anything to you? They're at my polling center at an elementary school.' I told him that right off the bat they reminded me of these symbols." Activist teachers are now openly bragging about embedding their values into the curriculum to mold your children to their worldview. Seeing this as grossly inappropriate, some parents are bucking the indoctrination and protesting what's sneakily being done. In that article above, one of the commentators remarked that they didn't mind being canceled for objecting to these tactics, saying, "I like being ostracized for doing what's right." It reminded me of a passage from the New Testament, John 15:18, namely, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you." And that's the point of this presentation. Don't be afraid to be hated. Embrace the quality of your enemies. It's by your enemies that you define what your values are. An enemy will tell you more about yourself than a friend. We need to resist the terror of being hated, of giving into the imperative that we have to struggle to be nice and compromise on every one of our values to keep the peace. For too long, the right has capitulated, and that's a problem. Because as Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Just remember, you're only attacked when you're directly over the target. Be glad of being attacked. It means two things. One, you're effective. And two, you're right. Cultivate the enemies. Be proud to be judged by the quality of your enemies. Confucius said, "He who flatters a man is his enemy, whereas he who tells him his faults is his maker." The Stoic philosophers were all of one voice in their denunciation of flatterers and their teaching that we benefit more from enemies than from yes-men who tell us what we want to hear. Sadly, our educational system is bent not on teaching kids to value truth, but to value conformity, passivity, diplomacy. In short, being a yes-man, the kind of person who sees evil and instead of stopping it, looks the other way so as not to rock the boat. The man's in a chicken suit? Then of course he's a chicken. He said so himself. For you to not call him a chicken would be uncouth. Unsophisticated, he's told. If it's an apple and a group of people around you call it a banana, just knuckle under and call it a banana too. Go with the crowd, not with the truth. It's like that famous Ashe conformity experiment, as can be seen here from the TV show Candid Camera.
The gentleman in the elevator now is a candid star. These folks who are entering, the man with the white shirt, the lady with the trench coat, and subsequently one other member of our staff, will face the rear. And you'll see how this man in the trench coat tries to maintain his individuality, but little by little, he looks at his watch, but he's really making an excuse for turning just a little bit more to the wall. Now we'll try it once again. Here's the candid subject. Here comes the candid camera staff, three of them at least. And this man has apparently been in groups before.
In classical education, truth was valued, not conformity. Like Diogenes with the lantern, he went around Athens in broad daylight with a lit lantern. No one challenged him for fear of giving offense. Finally, one individual asked, "Why are you carrying a lit lantern? It's daytime." Whereupon Diogenes declared, "At last, an honest man." Hans Christian Andersen bodies forth the same moral in The Emperor's New Clothes, where everyone is cowed by con men. They manipulate the people by saying that only intelligent people can see this invisible thread. Of course, there is no thread. This is make-believe, but the people are afraid to expose the con, so they all pretend that they can see this thread, and the con men go on to charge high exorbitant prices for the emperor, and they make what they claim to be an invisible cloak for the king, and everybody amasses to you know, witness this beautiful flowing garment that doesn't actually exist, and one little boy finally breaks the mass formation psychosis by being honest and saying, "The emperor is naked." The modern educational system is just like that. It's a selection mechanism, not for intelligence, but for conformity, as Noam Chomsky says here.
I'm wondering how you see the role of our educational system, what it's doing right now, what forces are driving it, and what constraints are on it, and how should it operate?
Mm-hmm. Well, I quoted the Trilateral Commission view of the educational system, namely it's a system of indoctrination of the young, and I think that's correct. A system of indoctrination of the young. That was the way the liberal elites regard it, and they're more or less accurate. So the educational system is supposed to train people to be obedient, conformist, not think too much, do what you're told, stay passive, don't cause any crises of democracy, don't raise any questions, and so on. That's basically what the system is about. Even the fact that the system has a lot of stupidity in it, I think, has a function. You know, it means that people are filtered out for obedience. If you can guarantee lots of stupidity in the educational system, you know, like stupid assignments and things like that, you know that the only people who will make it through are people like me and like most of you, I guess, who are willing to do it no matter how stupid it is, because we want to go to the next step, you know. So you may know that this assignment is idiotic and the guy up there couldn't think his way out of a paper bag, but you'll do it anyway, because that's the way you get to the next class. And you want to make it, and so on and so forth. Well, there are people who don't do that, you know. There are people who say, "I'm not going to do it, it's too ridiculous," you know. Those people are called behavioral problems, or something like that. They end up in the principal's office, or in the streets, or selling drugs, or whatever. And all of this is a technique for selection for obedience.
As a society, we need more people of integrity, not more yes-men. Systems fall apart because of yes-men. Errors can't be corrected when feedback mechanisms are severed. This is why truth is so valuable. And as any economist can tell you, scarcity imparts value. Truth is valuable because it's scarce. People are afraid to be kicked out of the herd. As Plato said, no one is more hated than he who speaks the truth. But my plea to you is this: embrace being hated by evil people. Cultivate the right enemies, because it's by your enemies more than by your friends that history will judge you. If you're a conservative and a Christian who loves America and hates communism, have we got a show for you. The Ben Armstrong Show, presented by The New American, is a show filled with political commentary based on what's happening today in America. Check it out on thenewamerican.com.